How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study here in John chapter 6, right here at the end of the chapter. We left off last time at verse 70. Let's back up to verse number 66 and let's pick up the thought and get the context here of the passage. In John 6:66, the scripture says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." The Lord's preaching about the partaking, the eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. He makes it very clear in verse 63 that these things that he's spoken to the people there are spiritual. Many of those that he has dealt with here and many that go away and walk with him no more, the scripture says, of his disciples, many were looking for the free lunch. They were looking what they could get from the Lord. And rather than understanding the spiritual necessity that they had, and they just said that they said it's a hard saying, who can hear it, about this partaking of the Lord. And the whole thing is that what the Lord is conveying is that sinners need to partake of the Lord Jesus Christ in a very personal, very intimate way, a way that's even greater than the partaking of our food for the necessity of this a physical body. We need him worse than we need physical food. We need him. Our need for him is much, much greater than the necessity of our bodies to avoid hunger. And malnutrition, if you will. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to partake of him. His body broken and given a sacrifice for sinners' sins. His blood shed to wash those sins away. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many of his disciples, they walk no more with him. Verse 67, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Oh, a wonderful testimony. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." So Peter acknowledges that Jesus is the Messiah and he is from God. He's the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. He acknowledges that, believes that, is secure in that, has great hope in that. And he says there's no one else to go to. We pick it up in verse number 70, where we left off last time. In verse 70 it says, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Verse 71, "He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. This is a difficult passage for many folks and hard to understand for many. But the thing is, it's very clear. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has chosen those that are following him out of those disciples that he has saved, that he has called to salvation through the Spirit of God. Of those, he chose 12. And I find it very interesting that the Lord did this. He knew what he was doing. It was not a thing of Judas Iscariot slipping up on the Lord and becoming one that the Lord Jesus thought would be faithful to him, and then he turns out to be the one that would betray the Lord to the Pharisees and Sadducees and the leadership, the religious leadership in Israel. The Lord knew. The Lord knew that Judas was not saved. Judas was not saved, but we'll find that in other passages that we'll take a look at here. It's hard for mankind and hard for men to accept this point, but the scripture is very clear, and we'll see other scriptures as we continue on through the book of John that tell us more about Judas. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, chose Judas to be the betrayer. He is the one. He chose him to be such. And I praise the Lord that he didn't choose me to be such, but it was necessary that there be one that would betray the Lord. In the book of Acts, it tells that the suffering and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God, that God purposed to sacrifice his son, and that he turned him over, and the Lord Jesus Christ yielded himself into the hands of wicked men. And they did what was natural for them to do. They took the King of Glory and put him to death. Yet my sins, as a saved sinner, my sins put him to death. I was as guilty as they in putting the Lord Jesus Christ to death. But in all of this, there was one that the Lord chose that would be the betrayer. We read over here in Mark chapter 3. We'll take a look over here at this passage and just seeing about how it was when Judas was chosen to be an apostle. And I think the Lord Jesus Christ has done this. He did so. There needed to be one that would betray the Lord Jesus Christ and to the religious leadership in Israel. But also, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has done so to exhibit and show to us that even a person that would hold an office in one of the Lord's churches, this is the first church, as we refer to it in the scripture, the church there at Jerusalem, even though one would be found to be an apostle, it is no guarantee of salvation. Just because a man would be called a deacon, or a lady would be a Sunday school teacher to young children in the church, or even a man that would claim to be a preacher and a pastor, just because we hold an office does not mean that we are saved. Judas was a professor, but he was not a possessor. You hear that? He claimed to have salvation, so much so that we believe that John the Baptist baptized him. And when John the Baptist considered those that came to him for a baptism, he considered about their works and their testimony of salvation. Judas slipped by him, and Judas was not saved, but yet he said that he was saved. He was a professor of salvation, but he did not possess salvation. And then John baptized him, and here in Mark chapter 3, verse number 13, the scripture says, "And he, that is Jesus, goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house." So did Jesus make a mistake? No, the Lord Jesus Christ never made an error. He never made a mistake. It says he went up into a mountain, and called unto them whom he would. The scripture says otherwise that he prayed about this and then called these men to this leadership position. It says here that he ordained that they would be with him and they would be sent forth to preach. Judas even might have been able and did preach. Judas indeed may have healed. It says here that they might have power to heal sickness and cast out devils. But salvation doesn't come from an office in the church. Salvation comes through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be into the hearing of my voice, and you might claim that the office that you've held, the work that you've done in your church, is an indication of your salvation. And indeed, faith does generate works. That is true. But what are you trusting in? What is it that you lay before the Lord? What is it that you say, "Father, receive me because what you've done, what you've held in the church, what works you've done, salvation is not that way. But when you appear before the Lord and you consider your salvation and you say, Lord, receive me because of what Jesus did for me, there is salvation. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Over here in Matthew, or in the book of Acts, in verse number 15, we pick it up here. It tells us a little bit more about the apostles. And in those days, Acts chapter 1, verse number 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled with the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. Judas's end was prophesied in the scripture. God ordained it to be this way, which was guided to them that took Jesus. Verse 17, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. Judas, having betrayed the Lord, saw that they would take the Lord and kill him. The scripture says he repented. But that repentance that is indicated there is that he was sorry he got caught. And rather than repenting before God, rather than repenting of his wickedness and his sin, rather than doing that, he sought to remedy things himself and he killed himself. And his bowels burst asunder in the midst of this place where he hung himself. Verse 19, and it was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, and so much as that field is called in their proper tongue, Alsadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and let his bishopric, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which had accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Peter says, it's prophesied in the scripture about Judas. It's necessary that another man take his place. And of these brethren that have accompanied with us, one needs to be chosen and ordained to be a witness with us 11, to be a total of 12 as the Lord ordained it, to be a witness of the Lord's resurrection. And so we see here, and we'll pick it up next time, how they chose two, and they cast forth their lot or their vote, and a man was chosen to fill Judas's place. What are you trusting in? I tell you what, make sure that what you're trusting in is not a what you've done or what someone has told you, but rather that what you're trusting in is rather a who, the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him. Well, see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.